Then I was called up to do my military service in 1947. Exactly, I know that. Did my military service 6 months.
So what was, tell me about the military service. Was that on the Rock then?
Yes. It was the GDF, the Royal Defence Force, as part, one battery of the 54 ACAC Regiment Royal Artillery. We were, instead of having four batteries, they had only three, and now we were the fourth battery. But the GDF was already in existence because young men had returned in time when they became 80 from evacuation to become volunteers in the Gibraltar Defence Force. And it was all artillery at the time, anti-aircraft artillery. They were based at the Windmill Hill, well, actually, Windmill Hill Flats. That's where we are at our battery. And we're there for 6 months, and after 6 months we were released, and then we were supposed to go every so often, I think it's every 2 or 3 years, used to go back to have a refresher 2 weeks course. I did two more after that. Having joined the police, I was exempt from that because I was doing an accession service, as it was. But otherwise, but by the last time I went, the last time I did my last, I was already an infantry. They have been trained from artillery to infantry, and which now is a Royal Gibraltar Regiment, of which I'm very proud of.
And so that was sort of national service, like people had to do in the UK as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody had to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. But you wanted to join the police then.
No, I didn't. Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay.
I came out from there. I came out from there. I went back to the dockyard to work in the naval torpedo depot, Royal Naval Torpedo Depot, and I was there working for Royal Naval Torpedo Depot when the Vietnam blew up.
Yes, I was going to ask about that.
I aboard the ship when the first explosion went up. And anyway, after that, I mean...
No, hang on, you can't just say that. I want you to describe what it was like. What was it? What happened? Tell me about the day.
I've written that as well. It's also very well documented, but anyway...
But it doesn't matter, because yes, it's you telling me the story.
I'd gone on board to collect some paperwork for stuff that was... Because we never, in the torpedo depot, we dealt with the torpedo, so not explosives at all. I went aboard to my storeman, I was his assistant... was from the UK, now dead, but he says, oh, there's some spares coming for us. Go on board the ship, get the bills of lading. I was on board the ship having a drink with the shipping master, the store master on board. This big bang, looked over the side, we saw the lighter where the first explosion occurred on fire. We were chased out of the ship. By the time I was about 200 yards away from the ship, the whole thing went up, bam, bang. And just as I got off, there was the new fire engine had been bought by the dockyard, fire service. I saw it arriving just before the explosion. When I opened my eyes again, all there was a chassis on four wheels. And then, of course, the damage that occurred all over the Rock. Our store was completely, we were only about, 400 yards away from the explosion, completely.
So you were on the, yeah, just...
I went on board to pick up some paperwork for stuff coming for us. I was having a drink with the officer on the bridge, looked over the side. After the explosion, the first explosion, something exploded, we saw the fire on the lighter, everybody was told to get ashore, about 200 yards away when the big bang went off, threw myself on the ground, and at the time, you know, it looked like the whole world was coming round, you know, and when I looked up, the fire engine I had seen arriving from the Dockett Fire Service, near fire engine, all that was out of it was a chassis and four wheels, and on the jetty there, our torpedo store, where we stored our torpedoes, was all the shambles. And in the actual dockyard, offices where we just where we used to have our store. It was a shambles upstairs. All our storage bins were lying on the floor. And believe it or not, all when we put it all back, all we missed was one screw from that stock. We have had, it took a long time to do that. Obviously, Gibraltar, there was a lot of damage done to a lot of buildings around there. Very near there was the Imperial Court, which was the offices of the NAFI. That was a shambles as well, which was right next to about 50 yards away from where the explosion occurred. All glasses, there were all panes of glass in Gibraltar was in our, where we used to live, a piece of shrapnel or whatever, a ship fell on the roof of the little washroom we had, broke the stiles, had to be repaired. And even down Catalan Bay, there was pieces of the ship flown over the rock. Then after that, it was a matter of the armies coming out and sweeping out the glass up Main Street. All shop windows were all broken. And there was a sort of guard all the time permanently because people, you know, there might have been an idea, but nobody, in Gibraltar, we had very... people who behaved very well. There was no looting or anything like that. That wasn't completely done. So, you know, it was a shambles. Of course, 13 people died. Two on the two of them were the chief fire officer, chief fire officer, and his deputy died on board the ship because they got on board the ship to try and put the fire on the lighter out, but they died. About three died in the lighter when the thing went up. Street vendor died in near where the Queen's Hotel is now. Also, a cousin of my mother's died there, was coming back to a docket because he was coming back from sick leave. Had a big operation, life or death operation, and he died there. He came back to work. And... there was a hell of a lot of damage. But Humphrey's building is supposed to be the strongest building in the building in Gibraltar. They were practically finished and there was hardly any damage on them. That's one of the things.
I mean, and you were very lucky.
Now, after that, I was transferred into the tunnel, the ammunition site, because by then, after a while, obviously, I've done it a few months afterwards, they had... amalgamated both the torpedo depot and naval armament depot, and I was list for promotion to storeman, and I was transferred to get experience in ammunition. A bit later, they discovered how the boffins in UK discovered that the explosion was caused by the faulty filling of Anatol, the explosive used on depth charges. And there were still 16 of these charges in a store in the tunnel, in the Dockyard Tunnel magazine, which was my section, and I had to supervise the dumping of these 16 things out at sea. A very, very delicate operation. Could have blown any of them, but still.
Were you frightened?
Scared, hell. You don't ask me about that. I had to ride in that little tugged out and with a sinister weapon in the sea. I had to be very carefully dealt with, you know, and couldn't be so bad anyway. Although I was still a store assistant,
yeah.
The storeman was on leave, and I had to supervise it myself.
And how did you do it? I mean, what did you tell the people you were working with?
They only knew what was happening. The Naval Armament Supply Officer, Mr. Callis at the time, came into the office in the town and says, "Ernie, I've got a bad news for you." And he told me all about it and told the lads there, the gang that had working for me. They all knew about it, that they covered all the tunnel up with padding, and the little trolleys that we had on rails, running on rails, had to be covered, and they had to be lifted one by one, then put on the ship, and the little ship that was part of the department. It was a little, like a big tug. It was called Vic. I don't know why they were called Vic. Vic 25. And they did a ramp on the side so they could be rolled down the ramp into the sea. That was being manhandled.
So they're still under the sea?
They must have rotten by now.
And what, when you'd finished this incredibly delicate operation, what did you feel like? It must have been...
A big sigh of relief, believe me. Then I came back and then I decided that... I don't know why. I, at the beginning I was scared being in after having experienced the explosion. I was scared to be in the tunnel where there were so many explosives in there and all that, but I got used to it. I would sit and watch the lads work on whatever, sit on a 500-pound bomb like anything else, but I thought, so I said that now I'm going to leave, so I started looking for something else to do, and I applied to get into the police. And I was failed because I was an inch too short. And now you see them, they're about half my size. But eventually through my wife's cousin, who was a sergeant at the time, he pulled some strings, they accepted me, and I did 14 years in the police.
And was that, so where did you do your police training?
In Gibraltar.
And was it very similar to the British police?
Oh, yes.
Exactly the same thing.
Exactly the same, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was, what year are we in now, roughly?
55, 56. I resigned in 70. I did 14 years, 56.
And just before we will talk about that bit, but just wanted to go back on a couple of things that you said about the explosion and everything else. When the explosion happened, you were actually, you'd got off the boat, yeah? And so you were just blown flat on your back, were you?
No, I dived. What I felt was like, if you had a pile of paper there and you put some petrol on them or gas or whatever and you lit a fire, you get that whoosh. I felt that and I just dived down. And that's, as I felt that, I dived down.
Pure reaction, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was expecting it, put it the other way.
No, and what did you, what did people think the explosion was? I mean,
no, it doesn't matter what they think. Oh, the people thought all sort of things. They thought there was that had been, the ship had been bombed by somebody, by Spain or whatever. That it was terrorists or something. All sorts of things. But eventually, it turned out that this batch of they did this in UK, obviously the Boffins in UK, a dispatch of depth charges that were, as you know, barrels of steel barrels, and they were filled on a machine like they fill bottles and all that with ammonium in a liquid form, and then they solidify inside. But apparently they weren't filled properly, there was a gap left, and
that caused it.
That's what they said that the result of the explosion was. But
I mean, I just wondered about, you know, the other thing I was going to ask you about, actually. Well, actually, let's just finish the explosion first. So people were thinking all sorts of things, but, you know, imagine if it had happened today, the fuss it would have been on television, it would have been a big thing, and then there would have been the funerals and everybody would have been on the film and, you know, all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how big a thing was it in Gibraltar then?
Oh, a very big thing. People were scared for a long time. People were saying, they were saying that they were telling people, even the day of the explosion, actually, there's a risk of another explosion of following this one, you know, and more damage being done. And, people chasing around like children without a head, something like, you know, people who had men working in the docket or families coming down the docket to find out anything happened to their folk, you know, and all that sort of thing. Oh, yes, it was chaotic.
What were the funerals? Did lots of people go to the funerals?
Must have done, but I'll tell you one thing, that the funerals were obviously... a mixture of religions, because I mean the chief fire officer and his deputy were Church of England, the others were Spanish, most of them were Spanish and Gibraltarian, died were Roman Catholic. I mean, there was a communal funeral held. And the families from Spain came across, and only recently, not long ago, a few months ago, 2 or 3 years ago, they built a cairn there with the name of all those who suffered. That's near where the ship blew up. The ship blew up right at the end of 40 berth, which is where the ship was used to tie up the gunwharf.
Thank you. That's really, really interesting.